Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
We're studying through the Transfiguration, and we found out that God Himself tells us what the main point of the Transfiguration is. Listen to Jesus. That's the point. So we're learning all about how to properly listen to the Lord. Last time we found that we must listen confidently because of how much proof God has provided, how solid and unimpeachable the evidence is. Listen to Jesus the way you listen to the trusted expert, the most reliable source of information, the way you listen when you are 100% sure that the speaker is credible. Listen confidently. Another thing that we learn about how to listen is this. Not only must we listen confidently and with faith, we must also listen exclusively. Listen to Christ alone. Jesus emerges in the Transfiguration as the singular and exclusive mouthpiece for God. I think a failure to recognize that was where Peter went wrong in his idea with the shelters. We know something was wrong with it, right? Because right after Peter throws out this idea of building three shelters or tabernacles, Mark says he didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Like, don't mind him. He just said that because he was scared out of his mind. So something was wrong with it. Mark's making an excuse for him. What's wrong with Peter's idea? Well, evidently, the point of the three tabernacles was to build some kind of monument to commemorate these three great men. I say that. I don't think he's just talking about like shelters from the weather, like three lean-tos or something because it might get rainy. Because if that were the case, they would need six, not three, right? There's six men up there. He's talking about building three. Peter specifies in verse 5, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. What's wrong with that? It's wrong because it puts all three men in the same class. And God corrects that error by steering attention to Jesus alone. Instead of hearing Peter out and saying, "Oh, great idea, Peter," God interrupts Peter and redirects all the attention onto Jesus. Peter's saying, "Let's put up three shelters," and God interrupts and says, "This is my son. Listen to him." In other words, God's saying, "Don't think Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Think Jesus. Just Jesus." And then what's the very next thing that happened? Verse 8. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Poof. Moses and Elijah are gone, and just Jesus remains. The point is, Moses and Elijah don't belong in the same monument as Jesus. The Mount Rushmore of Scripture doesn't have three faces. It has one face, Jesus. Now again, Peter knew that. He knew better than to put Jesus in the same category as Elijah and Moses. We saw that back in chapter 8. The disciples understood that. This was a lapse because he was so terrified. He didn't even know what words were coming out of his mouth. So we don't just listen to Jesus. We listen to Jesus alone. The way God speaks to us now is different than the way he spoke in Old Testament times. In Hebrews 1:1, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. God no longer speaks through various prophets like he did in the Old Testament. Just Jesus. Notice, God didn't even say, "Listen to us." He says, "Listen to him." Why? Because God the Father has nothing to say to humanity other than what he says through Jesus Christ. John 1:18, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Only Jesus reveals the Father. Now, does this mean the Old Testament is obsolete? Forget about Moses, forget about Elijah, forget about the Old Testament? No. No, Jesus read the Old Testament. He memorized it, quoted it, based his life on it. That's an example for us. We should do the same thing. Jesus regarded the Old Testament as the eternal, authoritative, life-giving word of the living God. So, if we listen to Jesus, we listen to the Old Testament. But if we truly listen to it, we will hear it shouting the whole time about Christ. When Moses disappeared and Jesus remained, that was a visible picture of what Paul said in Romans 10:4 when he said, "Christ is the end of the law." end, telos, not just the cessation of it, but the purpose of the law, the objective, the place where the law of Moses achieves its goal and arrives at its destination. Every word in the Old Testament is still significant, but its significance lies in the role that it plays in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, theologians love to debate about what they call continuity versus discontinuity from the Old Testament to the New Testament. One side emphasizes discontinuity. They say the New Testament is new, it's different, it's a better covenant, the old covenant is dead and gone, Israel has been replaced by the church, everything's new. The other side argues for continuity. The New Testament is a continuation of the Old Testament. It's the fulfillment. Old Testament and New Testament aren't two different streams. They're one continuous river. It just widens a bit when the Messiah arrives. And it's continuous and consistent. Like most theological arguments, the reason this one persists is because there's a lot of passages that support one side and a lot of other passages that support the other side. The Transfiguration is a passage that supports both sides, and it shows how both fit together. There is a continuity when Moses and Elijah are brought as witnesses to endorse Jesus, right? Jesus is the fulfillment of Daniel 7, the Son of Man. He's the fulfillment of what Moses promised. He's the fulfillment of the Elijah promises. The meaning of the whole event can't be understood without the Old Testament background that we looked at in the first message. All of that shows seamless continuity from Old Testament to New. Yes, it's one continuous stream. But when Moses and Elijah disappear, leaving Jesus alone, that's discontinuity, right? That's something new. That's the new system that Hebrews 1 is talking about, where God now speaks in a different way, not like he did in the Old Testament through various different prophets, but now through his Son alone. Jesus' arrival on the scene inaugurated a whole new era in redemptive history. And one feature of this new era is that we listen to only one source. So we listen to Christ alone. But if that's the case, what about the apostles and the New Testament prophets? Don't we also listen to Mark and Matthew and Peter and Paul and all the rest of the writers in the New Testament? Yes, we do, but only because they are mouthpieces for Jesus. Matthew 10:27, remember, what I whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. They didn't say anything other than what Jesus told them. 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul says, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. Galatians 1:11, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And a couple of verses earlier, he said, if I preach anything else, I should be damned to hell. Galatians 1:8 and 9. Every word in the New Testament is the gospel of Christ. There is nothing else. Because God has nothing else to say to us other than what he says through Christ. So we listen to him alone through his mouthpieces in the New Testament. So, how do you listen to Jesus? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Old Testament, because he endorsed that. He lived, he pointed to that as the Word of God, and so to listen to him, you have to listen to it. And listen to the New Testament, because those are his mouthpieces. Those are the people who proclaimed his message. He speaks through his word. Don't read your Bible every day just so you can get the next chapter checked off your reading schedule. Read it in order to listen to the voice of Christ speaking to you that day. Don't listen to sermons and podcasts and everything else in order to just increase your education. Listen in order to hear the voice of Christ. Pay attention not to me, but to Christ. Put your attention on him. When you listen to a sermon, don't pay attention to the preacher. Pay attention to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you. When you go to church, don't sit around and look at the people on the platform and the pastor and think about his tie and how he's mumbling or whatever. Pay attention to Jesus. Jesus is there talking to you. And don't go searching somewhere else for Jesus' voice. It comes through the scriptures. We don't need anything else. Just his word. So, I think that's the main thing that we learn from what was wrong with Peter's idea of the three monuments. Listen to Jesus exclusively. And I think that's the main point. But there might be one other thing as well that we can learn. And I'm not 100% sure about this, so you can just take it for what it's worth. I'll just throw it out there because I found it helpful for me in the past few weeks. It could be that Peter was attempting to preserve a situation that wasn't to be preserved. The building of the shelters may have been an attempt to make this a permanent situation. Moses and Elijah and Jesus, I mean, if you're going to build something, then the idea is that this will remain and make a situation that God designed to be brief into something permanent. It's very common to want to stay forever in a mountaintop experience, right? But God designed life as a journey. God keeps time ticking away. Minutes pass, weeks pass, years pass, and we want to resist that, right? We want it to stop. And nothing could be more futile. Well, we try it anyway. We have that mountaintop experience, maybe at a camp, or maybe some a church you went to in the past that was just amazing, that church was such a great thing, or whatever. And you define the Christian experience by that mountaintop experience. We do that in all areas of life. We want our kids to stay the same age forever. We don't want it to go away. We want to keep this job because all the familiar things around us, we want it to all stay the same. Maybe you're one who gets depressed every time you have a birthday, especially those decade birthdays that remind you how old you're getting. This is why some people take so many pictures. You know, they want it. Every time they get a glimpse of glory, they have so much anxiety about it not lasting forever that they spend the whole time trying to get it on film, even to the point where they miss out on actually enjoying the experience because they're just trying so hard to get it on film so they can preserve it. How often do we fail to get the joy that God wants us to get from a wonderful moment because we have anxiety about the fact that it's going to end? When I was a kid, half my summer was ruined because I had anxiety in my stomach about the fact that it was coming to an end and I'd have to go back to school. When we do that, it's a lack of faith. Do we think God is going to run out of grace and this is the last time He's going to give us something wonderful? Do we forget that His mercies are new every morning? When we get comfortable and we want to freeze time and keep everything the same from that point on, God designed life to keep moving, keep progressing, keep growing. But sheep never want a new pasture. Without a shepherd, I've read that sheep will die because they'll just stay in the same pasture even after the grass is all gone. They'll just keep eating until they kill that grass and they'll start eating the dirt. Even if there's another wonderful pasture nearby, sheep are one of the few animals on earth that can't find food and water even when it's nearby. They need a shepherd to keep them moving, to get them to that next pasture, which sometimes means having to take them through the valley of the shadow of death, through some deep valley, in order to get to that next pasture. And that's why sheep don't want to move, and that's what we're like. Every time we find a green pasture, we want to freeze time, stay there forever, and God prods us to keep moving, saying, no. You move. I got another pasture for you, and we're saying, no, I like it here, but the grass is all gone here. It's time to move to another green pasture, and to get there, we're going to have to pass through that valley. Let's go. When you find that you have anxiety about some season, some wonderful season coming to an end, remind yourself that you don't need that season. What you need is Jesus. You don't need that particular experience of glory. What you need is to be as close as possible to the source of all glory. What a marvelous thing that we don't have to fret about time passing by and what's gone, what's in the past. Did you know all your best days are still ahead of you? Well, I hope you can join us one more time tomorrow. Tomorrow's podcast will be part 4. And we'll look at the rest of the story in this question that the disciples have about, what about Elijah coming? How can Jesus be the Messiah if Elijah hasn't come? And if Elijah comes to restore people's hearts, then why would the Messiah be rejected? Did Elijah come? If he did, did he fail? And we're also going to look at how this all comes together. The whole transfiguration, it's amazing, the structure of the transfiguration and the role it plays in the book of Mark and in the entirety of the scriptures. So I really hope you can make it next time.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to hear the full-length version of today's message, you can find that on treasuringgod.com or just get our free Food for Your Soul sermon app. And if you find this podcast helpful, you can help other people find it by sharing a link on social media, giving us a rating or review on iTunes, or, best of all, tell a friend about us. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God.